We want to look at two verses, especially the first verse. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verses 9 and 10. The book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verses 9 and 10. The Holy Spirit says to us, do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines, for it is good that the heart be established by grace, not with foods which have not purified those who have been occupied with them. We have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. Food or grace? Which is right for us? Which is beneficial for us? Food or grace? You know, from the very beginning of the church, false brothers infiltrated into the church and taught strange teachings. Those false brothers were from Jewish origin, and mostly they were Pharisees. In Antioch, for example, according to the book of Acts, chapter 15, verse 1, certain men from Judea went there and taught the brethren, saying to the brethren, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. Those false brothers taught that Christians should not eat food that was not allowed by the law of the Old Testament. And they also should eat according to the ceremonial teaching of the law. That was their teaching, or some of their teaching. Of these teachings of the law, for example, we find in the book of Leviticus, chapter 11. This chapter speaks of clean animals, fish, and birds that should be eaten, and also unclean ones that should not be eaten. In the book of Exodus, chapter 12, the old people were redeemed from the land of slavery, Egypt. The Lord commanded them to eat the meat of the Passover lamb roasted on fire and eat it on bitter herbs. They also had to eat unleavened bread for 7 days. But of course, we understand that eating these kinds of food were just symbol to our spiritual food in Christ Jesus. Symbolic teachings we have in them. But they are beneficial for nothing spiritually in the New Testament. About all these sorts of food and ceremonial food, the apostle says in verse 9, as we read together of Hebrews chapter 13, it is good for our hearts to be strengthened by grace, not by ceremonial foods, which are of no value to those who eat them. They have no value for those to eat them. And in the book of Hebrews, also chapter 9, verse 10, the Holy Spirit says, concerned only with foods and drinks, various washings, and fleshly ordinances imposed until the time of reformation. Until the time of reformation. And we know, of course, that the time of Reformation has begun since the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The New Testament, after the Lord Jesus Christ died for us and rose again, all the ceremonial teachings and all the prophecies concerning him in the Old Testament have been fulfilled in him. Today I would like to talk about food or grace. I want to talk only about food, and next time, God willing, if the Lord Jesus doesn't come, it would be in May when I come here at night, I will talk about grace. But today I want to talk about food or grace, which is beneficial for us, which is of value for us. Number one, the food that has no value. The food that has no value. About food and its value for spiritual life, the Lord Jesus Christ says in Mark's Gospel, chapter 7, whatever enters a man from outside cannot defile man, because it does not enter his heart, but his stomach, and is eliminated, thus purifying all foods. In saying this, the Lord Jesus Christ declares all foods are clean. All foods are clean. I can eat pork, even though according to Leviticus chapter 11, people in the Old Testament were not allowed to eat pork. According to Leviticus 11, I cannot eat, for example, eel, but now I can eat it. I can eat any food, for the Lord Jesus Christ has declared all food clean. In the book of Colossians, chapter 2, Paul says that Christ has wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. And he says, so let no one judge you in food or in drink. Let no one judge you in food or in drink, or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbath, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. Listen also, please, to what the apostle says in 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now the Spirit expressly says that in later times some will depart from the faith. Depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. We now know the truth. We are talking about this truth from the Word of God. Also in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 8, but food, the apostle says, very clear, but food does not commend us to God. For neither if we eat are we the better, Or if we do not eat, are we the worse? You eat vegetarians only, or you eat meat, doesn't matter. You eat pork or not pork, doesn't matter. Does this include what's called halal food? So halal food, according to the teaching of the Word of God, is teaching of demons. You know, of course, what's so-called halal food. Halal means permitted. Many teachings around us, inside the nominal Christianity and outside the nominal Christianity. But these are all doctrines of demons. But if so, can we drink alcohol and get drunk? If anything is right for me, I can eat anything, drink anything. Can I drink alcohol and get drunk? The answer from the Word of God, no. The Galatians are told in chapter 5 that the drunkenness is one of the acts of the sinful nature. One of the acts of the sinful nature, drunkenness. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we read, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me. He's talking about food here. But I will not be brought under the power of any. I will not be brought under the power of any. And we ask, is the drunkard under the power of alcohol? Of course, yes. He is. Therefore, drunkenness is sin. And it's clear enough that the apostle says in the same chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and in verse 10, he says that drunkards will not inherit the kingdom of God. Drunkards will not inherit the kingdom of God. My friend, it's clear from the Word of God that eating some certain foods and not eating some certain other foods is not beneficial for our spiritual life. Has no value for our spiritual life. It does not and cannot strengthen our hearts in the faith and in the principles of our faith. It cannot strengthen us. Only grace. In the Lord Jesus Christ, it is good for our hearts to be strengthened by grace. As the Holy Spirit says here in Hebrews 13:9. You know, fleshly or unspiritual people think unspiritually or according to the flesh, as the Lord Jesus Christ says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. When he speaks of the second birth to Nicodemus in John's Gospel chapter 3, he says, how can, Nicodemus asks the Lord, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter second time into his mother's womb and be born? The Lord Jesus speaking to him about spiritual birth. But he's thinking of physical birth. He's thinking fleshly according to the flesh. He's thinking of physical birth. But spiritual people think spiritually. In John's Gospel, chapter 6, the Lord Jesus feeds a large crowd with 5 loaves and 2 fish. The majority of people are concerned of physical food. When Jesus talks to them about the bread of life, they turn back and they go away from him. The Lord Jesus then says to the 12, "Do you also want to go away?" But Peter answers him and says, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of the eternal life." He doesn't say to the Lord, "You have much food. You have fed big crowd, more than 5,000 people, with 5 loaves and 2 fish. So he doesn't say to him, "You have much food." But he says to the Lord, "You have the words of the eternal life." You see here, unspiritual people think unspiritually, according to the flesh. They think of washing by water and eating certain sorts of food so that they can have good relationship with God. But these things have no value in terms of our relationship with God. Spiritual people are concerned of the grace of God by which we are strengthened in the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and the principles of our faith. The second thing, the valuable food. The valuable food. In verse 10, the apostle talks to us about food that is completely different from ceremonial food of the Old Testament. He says in verse 10, "We have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat." We have an altar from which we eat. But those who serve the tabernacle of the Old Testament cannot eat from. They have no right to eat from it. In the tabernacle there were, he's talking about altar here. We have an altar. We eat from this altar. Which altar he's talking about here? You know, in the tabernacle there were 2 altars. 2. The altar of the burnt offering in the courtyard of the tabernacle outside, and the altar of incense in the holy place, just before the curtain that was separating between the holy place and the most holy place. The first altar symbolizes the altar of the burnt offering symbolizes the Lord Jesus Christ as the perfect burnt offering for eternal redemption and atonement. From the second altar, that's the altar of incense, before in the holy place and before the curtain that was separating between the holy place and the most holy place. From the second altar, the high priest used to take incense on the Day of Atonement and make a smoke of incense before the Lord in the most holy place when he goes into the most holy place on the Day of Atonement. The second altar, this second altar symbolizes Christ as he gave himself for a sweet smelling aroma and the sacrifice to God. It also symbolizes Christ as our intercessor before God. In the book of Ephesians chapter 5 verse 2, as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. By saying we have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat, in Hebrews 13:10, the apostle does not mean the altar of burnt offering or the altar of incense. He doesn't mean any one of them. Because those who minister at the tabernacle of the Old Testament, they eat from the altar of burnt offering. They eat from some parts of the sacrifices offered in the Old Testament. Also, he does not mean the altar of incense, because incense is not for eating. And it has no value at all to worship God, physical incense. And we don't have the tabernacle in the New Testament finished. There is no tabernacle. There is no temple of Solomon, for example. We don't have the tabernacle or the temple, because the real temple of God, the true temple of God, is the eternal Word of God, who became flesh and dwelt amongst us. He is the real tabernacle. By the way, the word dwelt amongst us, dwelt originally means he has tabernacled amongst us. He is the real tabernacle. So we eat from him, from the Lord Jesus, as we will see now. The Lord Jesus Christ is the sacrifice that has abolished all the sacrifices of the Old Testament. He himself is the priest who offered himself. He is the priest who offered himself as a sacrifice to God. So he is the priest and he is the sacrifice. He also is the altar upon which he was offered to God. The altar in the Old Testament was sanctified to satisfy the requirements of the just God. From the cradle till he died and rose again from the dead and returned back to heaven, Christ Jesus was perfectly sanctified for satisfying the heart of the Father and the will of the Father. He was always carrying and offering himself to the will and to the glory of the Father. So he is the sacrifice, the priest, and the altar. Therefore, he is our spiritual food. This is the altar from which we eat. And those who serve the tabernacle of the Old Testament have no right to eat from him. He is the altar. He is our spiritual food, that the apostle means here by saying we have an altar from which those who minister at the tabernacle have no right to eat. This teaching, I mean Christ Jesus as our food, is very clear from the Word of God. Very clear. There is a very well-known chapter about Christ as our food. after he fed the 5,000 in John's Gospel, chapter 6. In verse 35, the Lord Jesus says, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. And in verse 50 and 51, he says, this is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. He will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. When he died for us, that's the meaning of the flesh. He became flesh and he died for us. You know, as the bread is the support for our physical life, the Lord Jesus Christ, as the bread of life, is the support. He sustains our life in faith in him. He is our food and our eternal food, because he is the food for eternal life. You know, non-believers don't understand this deep meaning of satisfying our souls and spirits with Christ himself. They don't know that anyone receives Christ by faith as his Lord or her Lord and Savior will never go hungry and will never be thirsty, which means that they will find full satisfaction in him. And consequently, those people will not go back to the pleasure of sin. People who come to Christ, when they find satisfaction in him, they will never hunger to the pleasure of sin. They will hate the pleasure of sin. They will sing what Asaph sang in Psalm 73:25. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon earth that I desire besides you. You alone. You know, one of the sacrifices that used to be offered to the Lord in the tabernacle of the Old Testament in the early chapters of the book of Leviticus, and in chapter 3, was the fellowship offering. The fellowship offering, which symbolizes our fellowship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. From this offering, the breast and the thigh, the breast of the sacrifice and the thigh, used to be given to Aaron and his sons as priests of God. This offering signifies our fellowship with the Lord. Aaron and his sons means in the New Testament, the believers. All the believers are priests of God. The breast of the offering means the affections of Christ. And the thigh means his power. So his affections and his power. In our fellowship as believers of the New Testament, in our fellowship with the Lord Jesus, we have a great satisfaction and pleasure by meditating in his affections, love, and power, which are for us. We have great satisfaction in Christ Jesus and in his love and in his power, which are dedicated for us. Finally, I want to say this. We have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. People who hold on ritual ceremonies have no right to feed themselves from Christ. People who hold or cling to ceremonial teachings of the Old Testament, they cannot satisfy themselves with Christ. They have no right to eat from our altar. They cannot, because they turned away from Him and went back to the ritual worship of the Old Testament. They do not want to know that God is spirit, and His worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. My friend, people need to know, and we need to know, every one of us needs to know, that the Lord Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of all the prophecies, the symbols and ritual ceremonies of the Old Testament. The Lord Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of them all. He Himself is our satisfaction, delight, and pleasure. Is He yours? We are strengthened in Him by satisfying ourselves with Him, and also we are strengthened in Him by the grace which is in Him. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your word. Thank You that the Bible is really a small open book. When we submit ourselves to You, to the Holy Spirit, we can easily understand every word in the Bible. So help us, Father, to always come to You in simplicity of the heart. And thank You that You always teach us that the Lord Jesus Christ is our satisfaction, and He alone is our satisfaction. In His precious name we pray.